When Marie Lu's The Young Elites hit shelves in 2014, it quickly became a sensation among fantasy readers seeking darker, more complex protagonists. Unlike traditional hero narratives, Lu's story follows Adelina Amoteru's descent into villainy, a journey that resonated so deeply with readers that the trilogy landed on multiple bestseller lists and earned comparisons to X-Men meets Game of Thrones. What makes this tale particularly fascinating is Lu's original intent to write about a heroic male protagonist until her agent suggested centering the story on Adelina instead. This pivotal shift transformed the work into what Lu herself describes as a villain's journey rather than a hero's, an exploration of how trauma and rejection can corrupt even the most sympathetic hearts. The Kingdom of Kenetra exists in a world forever transformed by the devastating blood fever, a mysterious and virulent illness that swept through the land a decade ago. The plague proved particularly lethal to adults, decimating entire communities and leaving countless children orphaned. Those young survivors, known as Molfettos, emerged from their sickness permanently altered, bearing stark physical mutations. Lustrous silver hair that shimmers like moonlight, missing limbs or organs, skin mottled with unusual patterns and hues. Some lost their eyes, others developed scaled skin or strange markings that seemed to shift in the light. These visible markers made them impossible to hide and easy to persecute. Society's treatment of Molfettos reflects humanity's darkest impulses toward the different and disadvantaged. Once respected families now hide their marked children away, while poor Molfettos are driven to the streets, forced to survive through begging or crime. Religious leaders declare them cursed by the gods, merchants refuse to trade with them, and nobles ban them from their courts. Yet whispered stories tell of Molfettos who emerged with more than just physical changes. Some developed extraordinary abilities that defy natural law, earning them the fearsome title of young elites. Adelina Amoturu's story epitomizes the Molfetto experience. The blood fever claimed her left eye, but left her with striking silver hair that catches light like polished metal. Once destined for an advantageous marriage as the daughter of a wealthy merchant, she became a source of shame to her father. His abuse manifested in countless ways, withholding food, physical violence, emotional manipulation, while her unmarked sister, Violetta, received every advantage and affection. This cruel dichotomy shaped Adelina's worldview, teaching her that power and love were conditional upon perfection. Kenetra's social hierarchy weaponizes this prejudice to maintain control. The royal Kenetran family, through careful propaganda and policy, has positioned Molfettos as convenient scapegoats for the kingdom's problems. The Inquisition Axis, under Terran Santoro's zealous leadership, conducts systematic purges of suspected young elites. Their public executions serve as both entertainment and warning, with Molfettos burned at the stake or beheaded in city squares. This institutionalized persecution has created deep divisions in society, with some families protecting their marked members, while others eagerly betray them for reward or favor. The blood fever serves as a brilliant narrative device, functioning simultaneously as historical event and potent metaphor. The visible markings of Molfettos parallel any physical or cultural difference that societies have used to justify discrimination, from skin color to religious symbols to disability. Meanwhile, the emergence of young elite powers suggests that strength can arise from trauma and marginalization. Adelina's journey forces readers to grapple with complex questions about power and morality. Can abilities born from suffering and rage be used for good? Does persecution justify vengeance? The answers prove as complex as the world itself. Adelina's journey begins with an act of desperate self-defense. After years of abuse, she finally manifests her latent powers when her father attempts to sell her to a cruel merchant. Ghostly apparitions surge from her body, speaking her innermost thoughts of vengeance. Her father flees in terror, only to be trampled by his own horse. Though Adelina whispers, "I didn't mean it," a part of her secretly relishes this accidental revenge. This pivotal moment establishes the central tension within Adelina. She possesses tremendous power born from fear and anger, yet retains enough conscience to be horrified by what she's capable of. When she's captured by the Inquisition and sentenced to burn at the stake for her father's death, her emotions again trigger her abilities. The sky darkens unnaturally, and a swarm of illusory locusts descends on the crowd. In this moment of terror, she's rescued by a mysterious group, the Dagger Society, led by the former Crown Prince Enzo Valenciano. The daggers represent Adelina's first potential family, a place where her differences might be celebrated rather than condemned. Each member bears unique powers. Enzo can create and manipulate fire. Raphael can sense and influence emotions. Gemma, the star thief, controls animals. Michael, the architect, can deconstruct and reform objects. Lucent, the windwalker, commands air currents. Under their guidance, Adelina begins to understand her own abilities. She can create illusions so perfect they fool all five senses. What distinguishes Lu's approach to magical powers is how intimately they're connected to each character's psychology. Adelina's illusions stem from her lifetime of pretending not to be hurt by her father's cruelty, pretending to be normal in a world that reviles her. Her powers grow strongest when fueled by negative emotions, fear, anger, jealousy, ambition. This connection between emotion and ability creates a terrible dilemma. To access her full potential, Adelina must embrace the darkest parts of herself. Fear is power, whispers Formadit, the angel of fear, in one of Adelina's dreams. This haunting phrase becomes her unofficial mantra, a recognition that her strength comes from the very emotions most people try to suppress. Unlike traditional heroes who overcome their fears, Adelina learns to harness hers, a path that leads to tremendous power but threatens her humanity. The Dagger Society offers Adelina something she's desperately craved her entire life, acceptance. At the Fortunata Court, their luxurious headquarters disguised as a consort house, she begins training to control her abilities. For perhaps the first time, her differences are valued rather than despised. Yet even here, Adelina remains an outsider. Raphael, the beautiful consort who serves as the group's emotional center, senses something disturbing in her energy, a darkness that makes him wary. Adelina's relationship with Enzo forms the emotional core of her time with the Daggers. The former crown prince, stripped of his birthright after becoming a Malfetto, now leads this band of powerful outcasts with plans to overthrow the monarchy. His quiet strength and occasional tenderness awaken feelings in Adelina she's never experienced before. When he takes personal interest in her training, their connection deepens, culminating in intimate moments that suggest the possibility of love. Yet, shadows lurk beneath this newfound belonging. Adelina overhears Dante, another dagger, warning Enzo that she resembles his former love, Daphne, suggesting his interest might be based on this resemblance rather than genuine affection. More troubling still, she learns the daggers may plan to discard her once they've used her powers. These discoveries reawaken Adelina's deepest insecurities, that she is unlovable for herself, valuable only for what others can take from her. Meanwhile, lead Inquisitor Terran Centauro has captured Adelina's sister Violetta, using her as a leverage to force Adelina to betray the daggers. This creates the central conflict that tears Adelina apart, her loyalty to her new family versus her obligation to her sister. The irony is bitter. Violetta received all their father's love while Adelina endured his abuse, yet Adelina cannot bring herself to abandon her sister. What makes this situation particularly complex is that no side is entirely right or wrong. The daggers fight against oppression, but employ violence and manipulation to achieve their goals. Terran represents religious fanaticism and persecution, yet his devotion to Queen Julietta stems from genuine love. Even Adelina's sister Violetta, who appears innocent, has hidden depths and secrets of her own. In this morally ambiguous landscape, Adelina must navigate according to her own damaged moral compass. Throughout the novel, masks serve as both literal objects and powerful symbols. The young elites wear silver masks during their missions, concealing their identities while creating a unified, intimidating presence. At the Fortunata Court, everyone wears decorative masks as part of their disguise as consorts and patrons. Even Adelina, with her scarred face partially hidden by her silver hair, presents a kind of natural mask to the world. These physical masks reflect the psychological masks all characters wear. Taryn presents himself as a righteous defender of purity while hiding his own status as a Malfetto with the power of invulnerability. Queen Julietta maintains a cold, regal demeanor that conceals her passionate affair with Taryn and her ruthless ambition. Even kind Raphael, who seems so genuine, keeps his own secrets and agendas. For Adelina, whose power literally creates illusions, this theme carries special significance. Her entire life has been an exercise in hiding, concealing her fear from her father, disguising her hatred behind obedience, pretending to be less than she is to survive in a hostile world. When she joins the Daggers, she adopts yet another identity as a consort in training, wrapping her distinctive hair into Morin fashion and wearing a glittering mask. A smooth stone is not smooth at all, Michelle tells her during training, teaching her that creating convincing illusions requires understanding that reality itself contains imperfections. This lesson applies equally to people. No one is exactly as they appear on the surface. As Adelina masters her powers, she learns to create illusions so perfect they can fool all five senses, a terrifying ability that mirrors her own struggle to distinguish between appearance and reality in her relationships. The ultimate irony is that Adelina, master of illusion, remains unable to see through the illusions others create around her. She cannot discern whether Enzo truly cares for her or sees only Daphne's ghost. She misreads Raphael's concern as acceptance. Most tragically, she fails to recognize that her sister Violetta has been hiding her own elite powers, the ability to temporarily suppress others' abilities throughout their childhood. What distinguishes the young elites from typical fantasy narratives is its unflinching portrayal of Adelina's moral deterioration. Rather than following a hero's journey toward redemption, we witness a sympathetic character's gradual embrace of darkness. This transformation occurs through a series of pivotal moments where Adelina chooses vengeance over mercy, power over connection. The first such moment comes when she accidentally kills her father. Though unintentional, part of her exults in his death, a reaction that horrifies yet satisfies her. Later, when she creates illusions to escape the Inquisition Tower with Violetta, she encounters Dante, who accuses her of betraying the Daggers. In the confrontation that follows, Adelina unleashes her power without restraint, creating illusions of excruciating pain that kill him. "Part of me is horrified," she reflects afterward, "but another part, my father's daughter, delights in his suffering." These incidents reveal Adelina's fundamental duality. She retains enough conscience to be disturbed by her actions, yet increasingly embraces the dark power that flows from negative emotions. This internal conflict manifests physically in her appearance. Her silver hair and missing eye mark her as different, divided, incomplete. The novel's climax brings this struggle to its tragic conclusion. During a public duel between Enzo and Taryn, Adelina's powers spiral out of control. In the chaos, she accidentally attacks Enzo instead of Taryn, creating the opening for Taryn to fatally stab the prince. This devastating mistake, harming the person she loves most, represents the culmination of her destructive potential. In the aftermath, Raphael reveals a crucial insight. Adelina's alignment with passion has actually fed her fear and fury, making her powers volatile and unpredictable. "You have goodness in your heart," he tells her, "but your darkness overwhelms it all." With these words, he banishes her from the Daggers, severing her last connection to belonging. What makes Adelina's descent so compelling is that we understand exactly how she arrived at this point. Each step toward darkness follows logically from her experiences, abuse, rejection, and betrayal. We sympathize with her pain while recognizing the danger she represents to others and to herself. In her final scene, as she contemplates her future while cutting off her silver hair in a frenzy, we see a character poised at the precipice of villainy, yet still capable of love for her sister.
Against the backdrop of Adelina's personal journey unfolds a complex political drama that mirrors the intricacies of Renaissance Italian court politics. Canetra's stability rests on increasingly shaky foundations, with power concentrated in the hands of a few key players who manipulate events from behind gilded palace walls. The king, who ascended to the throne through his marriage to Queen Giulietta, proves to be a weak and indifferent ruler, more interested in hunting and courtly pleasures than governance. His ineffectual leadership creates a power vacuum that others rush to fill, particularly his ambitious wife. Queen Giulietta emerges as a masterful political strategist, carefully cultivating her public image as a devout protector of the realm while secretly orchestrating its destabilization. Her relationship with Terran Santoro, the lead inquisitor, exemplifies her tactical brilliance. She leverages his fanatical devotion to her, along with his position as head of the Inquisition Axis, to eliminate her enemies while maintaining plausible deniability. Their affair, conducted in shadow-filled palace corridors and secret chambers, adds another layer of complexity to the already tangled web of court intrigue. The central political conflict revolves around the explosive sibling rivalry between Queen Giulietta and her brother, Enzo Valenciano. Once the crown prince, Enzo's transformation into a Malfetto led to his disinheritance, a pivotal moment that transformed Canetra's political landscape. Now leading the Dagger Society, Enzo combines tactical genius with legitimate royal claim, making him a formidable threat to the current regime. His underground movement gains strength not just from his personal charisma, but from the growing resentment among Malfettos who see him as their rightful champion. The novel's political sphere extends well beyond Canetra's borders, painting a rich tapestry of international relations. The northern Skylands, with their harsh climate and warrior culture, maintain an uneasy peace with Canetra. The Sunlands to the south, known for their advanced scholarship and mysterious elite powers, watch events unfold with calculated interest. Most significantly, Crown Princess Maeve of Beldane emerges as a powerful wildcard. Her necromantic abilities make her perhaps the most dangerous elite in existence, while her keen interest in Canetra's internal strife suggests imminent foreign intervention. Personal motivations and political ambitions interweave inextricably throughout the narrative. Terran Santoro's complex character exemplifies this fusion. His ruthless persecution of Malfettos stems from a toxic mixture of religious zealotry, self-hatred of his own Malfetto nature, and his obsessive love for Queen Giulietta. The queen herself operates from multiple motivations: genuine belief in her superior right to rule, resentment of her brother's former status, and raw ambition for absolute power. Even Enzo's revolutionary agenda blends personal vengeance with genuine concern for Malfetto rights. The assassination of the king, orchestrated by Terran with Queen Giulietta's implicit blessing, serves as the powder keg that ignites simmering tensions. The resulting violence against Malfettos in Estensia's streets demonstrates how quickly political machinations at the highest levels can cascade into widespread suffering among common citizens. This connection between palace intrigue and public tragedy adds moral weight to the Dagger Society's revolution, transforming their cause from mere power struggle to a fight for survival.
Love in its various forms, romantic, familial, platonic, shapes every character's journey in the Young Elites. Yet unlike traditional narratives, where love redeems and heals, Lu presents love as a double-edged sword that can both save and destroy. Adelina's relationship with her sister Violetta embodies this complexity. Despite years of jealousy over their father's preferential treatment of Violetta, Adelina risks everything to rescue her from the Inquisition. Their bond represents Adelina's strongest connection to her humanity. Violetta is the only one who has ever shown me kindness without wanting something in return. Yet this same devotion leads Adelina to betray the Daggers, setting in motion the chain of events that culminates in Enzo's death. Romantic love proves equally complicated. Taryn's devotion to Queen Julietta drives him to commit atrocities, including regicide. Though she clearly manipulates his feelings, his love remains genuine if twisted. Enzo's past love for Daphne influences his attraction to Adelina, raising questions about whether he truly sees her or merely a ghost of his former lover. When they finally share intimate moments, their connection feels both authentic and doomed, two damaged people finding temporary solace in each other. Perhaps most poignant is Raphael's platonic love for his fellow daggers, particularly Enzo. His genuine concern for their well-being makes him the moral center of the group. When he warns Enzo about Adelina's dangerous energy, he does so out of love rather than malice. His final words to Adelina, "I loved him too," reveal the depth of his grief and his understanding that, despite everything, they share this loss. In this broken world, love rarely conquers all. Instead, it complicates, motivates, and sometimes destroys. Characters make terrible choices for love, sacrifice themselves for love, and use love as a weapon against others. This nuanced portrayal avoids both cynicism and sentimentality, presenting love as a powerful force that, like Adelina's abilities, can create both beauty and devastation.
At its core, The Young Elites explores how trauma shapes identity and how victims sometimes become perpetrators. Every major character carries wounds that influence their actions. Adelina's abuse at her father's hands, Enzo's rejection by his family, Taryn's religious indoctrination against his own nature, Raffaele's experiences before joining the Daggers. Adelina's journey most clearly illustrates this cycle. Her father's cruelty taught her that power is everything. Those with power inflict pain. Those without suffer it. When she gains her own abilities, she begins inflicting the same fear she once felt, finding satisfaction in others' terror. Fear is power, the angel Formidite tells her in dreams, and Adelina increasingly embraces this philosophy. The blood fever itself represents a collective trauma that transformed society. Those who survived, particularly the marked children, carry both physical and psychological scars. The young elites respond to this trauma differently. Enzo channels his pain into revolution, Raffaele into compassion, Taryn into self-hatred and fanaticism. These divergent paths suggest that while trauma shapes us, it doesn't necessarily determine who we become. What makes this theme particularly powerful is Lou's refusal to offer easy answers or complete redemption. By the novel's end, Adelina has embraced her darkness rather than overcoming it. "I can feel myself losing to it," she confesses to Violetta in the final chapter. When her sister offers to permanently remove her powers, to free her from this burden, Adelina refuses violently. "I can't live without it." This moment encapsulates the terrible paradox of her situation. Her power both destroys and defines her. As the first book in a trilogy, The Young Elites establishes Adelina's villain origin story with uncomfortable authenticity. We understand exactly how a damaged, rejected girl transforms into someone capable of terrible acts. The novel asks us to consider difficult questions. How do we break cycles of abuse? Can power gained through suffering ever be wielded for good? What responsibility do we bear for our actions when they arise from our wounds? These questions remain unresolved, inviting readers to continue Adelina's journey in subsequent books with both sympathy and trepidation. The Young Elites represents a significant departure from traditional young adult fantasy. Rather than following a hero's journey toward triumph and redemption, it charts a sympathetic character's descent into villainy. This subversion of expectations creates a reading experience that feels both familiar in its fantasy trappings and startlingly fresh in its moral complexity. Marie Lu's worldbuilding draws on Renaissance Italian influences, creating a setting that feels both historically grounded and fantastical. The city of Estensia, with its canals, masked consorts, and political intrigue, evokes Venice at the height of its power. This rich backdrop provides the perfect setting for a story about appearances versus reality, about the masks we wear and the faces beneath them. What ultimately distinguishes this novel is its willingness to embrace moral ambiguity. There are no pure heroes or irredeemable villains. Every character contains contradictions and complexities. Even Adelina, as she moves toward becoming the villain of her own story, retains enough humanity that we continue to care about her fate. This nuanced approach creates a narrative tension absent from more straightforward good versus evil tales. By centering a story on a character traditionally positioned as a villain, Lu invites readers to question conventional narratives about power, justice, and redemption. Adelina's journey suggests that sometimes the line between hero and villain depends less on innate goodness than on circumstance, opportunity, and how others respond to our pain. In a world increasingly aware of how trauma shapes behavior, this perspective feels both timely and profound. As the novel concludes with Adelina and Violetta fleeing Estensia, determined to find others like themselves and turn against Terran with unstoppable fury, we're left with a protagonist transformed but not simplified. Adelina remains as complex and contradictory as ever, capable of deep love for her sister alongside a growing embrace of her darkest impulses. This unresolved tension propels readers toward the trilogy's continuation, eager to discover whether Adelina's remaining humanity will ultimately save or doom her.